Welcome to the Mattcast. You're listening to a podcast that strives to bring the church world and the art world a little closer together. My name is Matt Anderson. So glad you can join us. I still regard it as one of the best questions I have ever heard in my life. I'll give you a little background. It was probably 25 years ago. I was at a minister's gathering, and there was a gentleman there from England. His name is Ian Green, and I think he was actually on a sabbatical from his ministry in Great Britain, and he had traveled to the States to go around to different places and churches and just to explore and be inspired. But while he was there, he addressed a room full of ministers, including me, in order to challenge us. Now, I can't tell you the full breadth of what he talked about in that session, but during it, he asked, I think, one of the best questions I have ever heard in my life, and I have stolen it from him repeatedly, and now I am stealing it again for this podcast. So here's the question that was asked of all of us that day, and the question I direct to this audience. When is the last time you did something for the first time? When is the last time you did something for the first time? I don't know where you're at with these kinds of things. I do not warmly embrace new things. I am a tried and true kind of guy. I like routine. I like to know what's coming. I like to know when it's coming. I like to know from where it is coming. I am not a big fan of surprises. I am not known for my spontaneity. It is kind of one of my worst qualities, I think, my lack of flexibility at times, especially when it comes to my work. Obviously, being a minister, that doesn't always work out well for you. I remember one particular day as a youth pastor, I was going through my task list, which I love to do, and suddenly I was informed by the office staff that we had just found out that someone connected to our church had passed away. No one from the family had called the church to let us know that calling hours were happening at that moment, and the last opportunity to be there was going to end in an hour. And I was pretty much the only one in the office, and so I was told I needed to immediately go to the funeral home to greet the family. It was always that kind of thing that would sort of throw me off my game and put me into a bit of a bad attitude. I hate to admit that on this podcast, but whenever my plan got disturbed by something new, I didn't always handle it well. I would certainly do my job, but internally, I was growling and groaning. I am also the kind of guy who does not like to do new things in front of people. If I am going to do something new, I would rather it be alone where I can really make stupid-looking mistakes, because I do. I don't really do anything well instantly, at least not to this point in my life. Especially if that anything involves tools or sports or mechanics of any kind, it brings out all my insecurities and it hurts my performance. So, you know, I would rather not do new things in front of people because I'm instantly transported back to junior high and high school to gym class and suddenly playing basketball on shirts and skins day, the stuff of which therapy sessions are made. I usually need a learning curve. So consequently, I tend to avoid new things unless I am forced to do so, and then hopefully under controlled conditions. Okay, you're getting a sense of my control freak nature here. But you know, we cannot learn without new. I mean, my love for the status quo could easily cause me to become quite stagnant and eventually useless. If there's never anything new, there's no learning, there's no stretching, there's no growing. And as artists and creatives, we learn by doing. You know, occasionally I will have younger or aspiring writers come up to me and ask how they could become a better writer. And I tell them, and this is really profound, you might want to hang on to something here. I tell them, you get better at writing by writing. It's true, though. There's an old joke of somebody in New York City who goes to a cab driver and says, "Hey, how do you get to Carnegie Hall?" And the cabbie answers, "Practice, practice, practice." We don't get better by reading resources and books about our art form, as informing and wonderful as that can be. We don't necessarily improve simply by watching craftspeople apply their trade. Those can be helpful. Those can even be inspiring. But it does not do a thing until we just try something for the first time, until we put pen to paper, until we put brush to canvas, until we put hands to clay, until we put finger on camera. You get the point. Eventually, we need to do something for the first time. I remember recording the first episode of this podcast. It wasn't that long ago. I knew I was going to make mistakes. And I also know that 2 years from now, I will probably look back, not just on that first episode, but the one I'm recording now, and I will probably cringe. It's still too early in the process for me to know what those things might be yet. But I look back at sermons I preached 20 years ago, and I practically shield my face in shame. Only because, not because I said anything untheological or heretical, it's only because I've gotten much better at it. We should have that feeling. If we're improving in our craft, we cannot be afraid of mistakes. Can I just urge us here? We cannot be afraid of mistakes. You're going to take your lumps. You're going to do things that 5 years later you look back and go, "Oi." But that's all right. You can't get there until you get through the "Oi." There's just no other way around it. We always need to find new things that we're learning or trying because, and let's say this spiritually, as believers, it forces us to depend on God, which is really the point. See, that whole new thing arena, that should not just be for the young. Young people have to try new things because they're trying to figure out what things bring them satisfaction and also what gets them paid, frankly. We should never end the era of discovery in our life. Even when we reach a level of proficiency in our art or creativity. So have you found an answer to the question yet? When's the last time you did something for the first time? Maybe the first time thing, maybe it will be an innovation within the art that we're already doing. We'll find a new technique. We'll find a layer of innovation in what we're doing that no one else has done before. You certainly see that with visual artists. That's good. And it needs to be something that creates a, "I have no idea how this is going to turn out" sort of feeling. Because if we bring God into that, or better yet, if he's calling us into that, more importantly, it's going to be worthwhile no matter how it turns out. I remember when God asked me to do an illustrated sermon at my church about my life growing up. And it may have been the hardest thing I've ever done in ministry to put my sort of dysfunctional early years on full display in front of a church. I've never been more nervous in my life. And I had to say, "Here we go, God, out onto the tightrope. over Niagara Falls. And if you're not in this, I'm going to fall. And of course, he was all over it because he's the one who called me to do it. You know, our bag of tricks, it should not be the same size as it was 5 years ago. We need to be putting more things into that bag. So please don't worry about how it looks or sounds or reads. Just get the process going. Give yourself time and room to improve. And here's the thought, enjoy it. Be the five-year-old with Play-Doh again and just explore. Who knows where it might lead? Hi there, I'm actor Boyd McCullough. You may have seen me on an episode of Who's the Boss, where I played Tourist Number 3, or on Law and Order Season 6, Episode 20, in which I was the offstage voice shouting, "Get down!" Those were memorable roles for all of us, but I am specifically here on this contrived living room set for three reasons. I care about senior citizens like you, I need the gig, and I look great in a suit. I want to spend a moment talking to you retirees out there, the ones who have worked and saved diligently in order to spend your retirement years enjoying your grandchildren, traveling the world, and religiously watching Wheel of Fortune. But as we know all too well, things happen, and suddenly we find ourselves with not as much of a nest egg as we thought, more of a nest nugget. Well, that's where the double reverse mortgage comes in. It's a new way to relieve the stress of living on a fixed income with increased expenses. This new ingenious program is brought to you by our friends at Kneecappers Plus, an innovator in the loan industry. Now look, I'm no banker, so I won't try to razzle-dazzle you with all kinds of $10 words like escrow and principal. Let me explain in plain English how the double reverse mortgage works. Since your home is paid for free and clear, you apply for a double mortgage. That's right. Double what your home is worth, and then you use it to take care of things like medical expenses, home repairs, family emergencies, car repairs, plastic surgery because your agent says you need to look 20 years younger if you're going to get any audition. Now, with your double mortgage, you can have peace of mind and the ability to enjoy your retirement. Just make your easy monthly payment of $5,000-ish per month and enjoy your life. Just don't miss a payment, okay? No, seriously, don't miss a payment, because if you do, some guy with a big scar on his cheek shows up at your front door and, whoops, sorry, me again. So, that's the double part of the mortgage. So, where does the reverse come in? Well, it's easy. In the event of your death, the mortgage reverses to your loved ones to continue payments. This isn't meant to be a burden. You're giving your children and heirs the gift of responsibility. And haven't they freeloaded enough? I mean, really. It truly is the gift that keeps on giving. If you're interested, go online to desperationloan.com And if you act today, you can get in on our special introductory 40% interest rate. Just use the offer code RACKET to lock you in to this astounding rate. Now, I know some things sound too good to be true, but believe me, this is the real deal. Oh, it's all too real. Take it from me. It doesn't get any more real than this. Whoops, there I go again. Go online and start giving your life, start investing in your life today. I'm Boyd McCullough, and if I don't see you again, you probably know what happened. Kneecappers Plus, keeping their friends close and their clients closer. If we are going to be Christian creatives, we have to be okay with new, because we serve a God who is all about the new. He is a God who tells us to leave our past in the rearview mirror and reach forward and strive for what is ahead. I mean, in Christ, we need to regularly do things for the first time. He is all about newness. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We know when the people of God were captives in Babylon, he gives them a number of encouragements along the way. They were paying the price for basically throwing God aside and wanting to be their own God or worship other idols. And from captivity, the Lord speaks through prophets to give them encouragement. And in the midst of that, he says a couple of things. One is in Lamentations 3, which is a really famous scripture, and it was a song that we sang when I was a kid. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. We serve a God who is all about the new, the fresh page, the reset. God also told his people in Isaiah 43, he says in verse 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Boy, that's a good word. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. It should really come natural to us. And I'm kind of talking to myself here. The whole newness thing and trying something for the first time. If we are captivated by the Lord, then we know we're going to follow him wherever he leads. And sometimes he's going to lead us to new places. And so we won't be overcome by new challenges, because we will recognize his goodness and the fact that everything he calls us to is for our good, no matter what the result. God hasn't called us to massive success and fame and riches. I hate to burst your bubble. If you've been an artist for a while, you're probably saying amen right now, because you've realized that. There's only a handful of people who really can handle that, and that the Lord sovereignly chooses to live out that sort of a life. So it's not really about the result. It's about just trusting his leadership over our life. And he says, okay, let's give this a shot. I mean, when Jesus called the disciples, they had to leave everything behind everything they had known to that point and really abandoned the skills and trades that they had used. Some of these guys were fishermen. One was a tax collector. Others were probably younger and hadn't even established themselves yet. Some of them had families. Nothing could have prepared those guys, though, for what they were about to do. There was no kind of training to prepare them for walking with Jesus and encountering the things that he saw. Jesus once called Peter to do something no human being had ever done. You might remember the story from Matthew chapter 14 when in the midst of the disciples being on a boat in the lake, Jesus shows up walking on the water. And Peter suddenly has this burst of faith and is basically ready to defy gravity. And so the Lord says, go for it. And he does, and he's actually successful for a few moments until his very human thinking took over and he began to sink. But at least he got out of the boat. At least he was willing to try something new. He had a story to tell. The other 11 just sat there. So which are we going to be? The canoe dwellers or the wave walkers? Our world is absolutely filled with critics. People who make nothing but spend their lives criticizing and tearing down those who do. Thanks to things like, podcasts and Yelp, we all get to be critics and give every aspect of our lives 1 to 5 stars. Look, this doesn't have to be for an audience. It may just need to be something that only your eyes see. That's okay. But when is the last time you did something for the first time? The Lord has really been trying to stretch me over the last couple of years. I've been trying to do more cooking. I live in an apartment, so it becomes very difficult to have reasons to use your hands to do things. And so cooking has been a really nice outlet for me. I'm not entering any contests here, and I'm not going to have a show on the Food Network anytime soon. But, you know, the stuff I eat is edible and relatively enjoyable, and that's good enough for me. Every once in a while, I'll go out to beautiful sites in the area, and I'll just grab my phone and use it as a camera. I'm not a professional photographer, but it gives me a chance to do something new, to try my eye and see if I can visually capture something that is going to be attractive to others, or at least just to myself, whether I choose to post it on Instagram or not. The Lord's actually also been calling me to do something that I've delayed doing, and that's doing sketching. And again, it's not a big deal. I just haven't taken the opportunity, and I'm probably afraid of how it's going to look. I don't know why. It's not as if I'm doing this for a live audience. So the Lord's been telling me, come on, man, it's time. It's time. Get a sketch pad, get some colored pencils, and just go. Go to a park, sit down, and enjoy my creation. And that's really, I think, what this is all about. This really should be an act of worship. So I want to challenge everyone listening to this podcast to pray, ask the Lord what creative thing you should do for the first time. Even if you're listening to this and you don't consider yourself an artist, I think there is a creative venue within you that God has placed. I have a strange feeling that you might already know what that could be. All of you who say you want to write a book, you want to write a novel, well, do it. Just write a paragraph. Don't worry if you don't have the entire plot line and character development all mapped out. Just write. It doesn't mean it will ever get published, let alone read by thousands of people. The act of creating ultimately should be just an act of worship to and with the Lord. The Lord wants to teach you some things while you are creating and doing that new thing, trusting in Him for every word, every line, everything you are forming and creating. Things just unique to you, He wants to teach. So embrace that. Don't get locked up in fame and money and all that junk. Just get started. Take your cell phone to a scenic area and just start taking photos. Get a sketch pad and colored pencils and just start drawing. Type that first sentence on the blank page with the pulsating cursor. Just go, as Sean Connery says in Finding Forrester, punch the keys for God's sake. That was my attempt at a Sean Connery imitation. Stop trying to be the teacher all the time. We sometimes still need to be the student. And the Holy Spirit is still in charge of the classroom, if we'll let Him. So let's sit at the desk and let's do something for the first time, because that's how we grow. Well, we appreciate you being a part of the Mattcast. Our music is by Sound of Fusion. We hope to see you again soon. This has been a production of Monumental Ministries. For more info about our books and resources, go to mattministry.com. Hey, thanks for having me over. I had a wonderful time.